Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gary Danielson, and right now it's Alabama and Georgia and everybody else way, way, way behind. Although Notre Dame is still there and they have the Miami team first. So who do you like, Notre Dame or Miami?
I probably would lean towards Notre Dame. Miami's had a lot of close games, but it'd be an interesting game. I'm looking forward to watching it. There's actually 10 teams. You know, the way the committee put the teams together, there are 10 teams, I believe, that are alive. Four out of the playoff teams will come out of those top 10. I don't see anybody this year making a late run like, you know, Ohio State did a couple years ago. I think, you know, Auburn number 10, because of who they play yet, Mike, because they get both. I don't know. I've never done anything, have two home games like this. If Auburn beats number one Georgia, they're going to get number one Alabama. And then if they beat Alabama, they're going to get Georgia again. And they could play themselves into it. But
that's hysterical 10, when you think of it. Yeah.
And that, out of those 10, I think there's the whole strategy here for, not strategy, but a whole desire here, if you're a football team, is to stay away from the committee. Play so well that the committee has to choose you, not go into that committee roulette, as I say. So I think out of the 10 teams, six teams, in my humble opinion, still control their own destiny. And I don't think Notre Dame is one of them. I think they could get in, obviously, if they went out. But I think it's going to have to be a committee pick. It's Georgia, Alabama, and Auburn. I think it's Miami and Clemson because they play each other and they be ACC champs. If Miami runs the table and beats Notre Dame and beats Clemson undefeated, they're 100% in. Nothing the committee can do. And I actually believe that if Wisconsin runs the table, they will beat enough good teams at the end of their schedule that they undefeated Big Ten champs will be in.
I totally agree.
And everybody else is going for one more spot. If the chalk holds, it never holds. But right now, six control their own destiny. The other four, Oklahoma, TCU, Notre Dame, and Washington, need committee help to get in.
Problem is, this year, you have an SEC title game that could present a real problem for the committee. Because if they're both undefeated and they play a tight game, the loser still belongs in the tournament. And that's not what this is set up for.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a slam dunk, but I do agree with you. They will be in, you know, the loser would have a strong argument with the committee. Now, there's some interesting wording here. If you actually look at, you know, how the committee selects the best teams, they do have a charter here that, you know, they're supposed to follow. But the interesting part is,
are you saying, you know, that the loser has to be eliminated?
No, it doesn't have to be eliminated, but it has, the wording is that the committee's charged to honor the regular season and only take a non-champion or independent under the circumstances where that particular non-champion or independent is unequivocally one of the four best teams. Now, remember, the conferences, the Power Five conferences, have created this committee. And it's hard to believe at the end that if, you know, the scenario you talked about, that a close game between Alabama and Georgia, that eats up two spots. Let's suppose Notre Dame eats up another spot. Are they really going to go into the fourth team only having two conferences represented when, remember, this whole thing was put together by these Power Five conferences? And I think that's the reason where I'm not so sure that the loser of that Alabama-Georgia game, even though they might be a top four team, I think they could get edged out by an Oklahoma.
But what about the idea of this? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that it's Alabama that loses. You would have a situation where everybody in America who follows it would believe that the best team in the country isn't in the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know. Remember, Alabama got the benefit of going in there before as a losing team, not being conference champions. And the committee just a year ago had, you know, was criticized a lot for not choosing Penn State as a champion. I still think, and it may happen, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, because you're right. You know, most people who watch tape and look at football teams say, oh, Alabama's one of the four best teams. And it seems easy. But, you know, you could have scenarios here where Notre Dame wins out and Clemson wins out, okay? And you've got a defending champion Clemson sitting there with one loss. Notre Dame sitting there with one loss without playing in a conference championship. And Oklahoma continuing to run roughshod over everybody. And let's suppose Ohio State beats Wisconsin. I mean, there's just so many factors. I read a great article. I've kind of been preaching this for a long time. One of the mistakes I think college football fan makes, I think they do it a bit with the Heisman, and now they're doing it a bit with this Final Four. They get so concerned so early about what's going to happen a month from now, then they're not even sitting back and enjoying these good football games. I mean, we got a really good football weekend here. Michigan State, Ohio State, yep. TCU, Oklahoma, Miami, Notre Dame, Auburn, Georgia. And everybody's so concerned about what's going to happen 4 or 5 weeks ago or what's going to happen Tuesday that they don't enjoy the damn
game. No, that's a good point. That is a good point. That is a very good point. Everyone's always looking to set up the Heisman and set up the championship. Yeah, absolutely right. Instead, and everything is taken in that direction.
I heard somebody say, it seems like I remember the games from 20 years ago more than I remember now. And that wasn't just an old guy, you know, with memory problems. It was more now. Everything goes away until we hear what the committee is supposed to tell us on Tuesday. Whereas I remember that great Oklahoma-Nebraska Johnny Rogers game.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
And I just think some of these games aren't having the same. People seem to be watching the games without as much satisfaction as they should.
That's a good point. Very good point. All right, let's talk about the games themselves. Georgia-Auburn. You think Auburn beats them?
I think Auburn has a chance to beat them. Really do. I think it's an even football game.
What do they do that beats them?
They stop the run extremely well with their front seven on defense. Kevin Steele is a Nick Saban disciple, just like Kirby Smart is. He learned his defense. Their front seven stops the run effectively without always having to bring their safety in the box. So they don't give up a lot of cheap plays, because they're able to disrupt the line of scrimmage, and they're really talented. By the way, just to get back to this game before I tell you why I think Auburn has a chance, and Georgia's a really good team, is, you know, when I usually talk about college games that I do in the SEC, early it was Florida playing against either LSU and Alabama that would have all the NFL players on the field.
Right.
And then obviously we had, you know, that run of Alabama-LSU. But I'll tell you this year, this game is one of the few games I've done in a long time where I've got Auburn and Georgia, and I'm probably looking at 20-plus NFL players on the field in this football game. That's how good this Auburn team is stacked with linemen, wide receivers, running backs, defensive linemen. And, of course, Georgia has numerous NFL players on their team, too. So these are two highly talented football teams, but it could be, and I think, the reason I think Auburn has a chance is, you know, when Auburn used to run the ball effectively before, when Gus had his offense going, Cam Newton and Nick Marshall helped the running game with their running because they were a threat to run. Well, Jarrett Stidham and the new style that this team is using this year, they're throwing the ball to set up the run. Not a lot, but they throw so many deep balls that have big play potential in them. It's hard to crowd the box on these guys, and it opens up. It's more like an NFL style of throwing the ball deep and taking your chances and then running the ball. So it's something Georgia has not seen, a quarterback, especially from Auburn, that can throw the ball to set up the run game.
Baker Mayfield, 3,200 yards, 28 touchdowns, 5 picks. Do you think America's ready for 6 foot? Maybe soaking wet, Baker Mayfield?
Oh, I think so. I think he's a little more disciplined and dedicated to being a NFL quarterback than like a Johnny Manziel was. You know, Johnny had, and he got a lot of good recommendations from a lot of people in college football and in his personal workouts that Johnny had a lot of skills that could play at the next level, but he didn't have the dedication. He just had personal problems. Baker seems to be clutch enough, good arm enough, great anticipation enough, and has the footwork to play at the next level. But he also, you know, has his, you know, his kind of his game together. He doesn't get distracted by off-field issues like Johnny did. So, you know, I watched Russell Wilson play again last night. I don't think anybody should be eliminated if you can play like Baker does because you're 2 inches smaller. Than
right, and Russell Wilson, I always knew Russell. If you watched him play in college, whether you watched him at NC State or watched him at Wisconsin, you knew he could play. I mean, that's all there was to it. You knew he could play.
Interestingly, Russell Wilson, when he decided to transfer from NC State, he narrowed it down to two spots. You know, one eventually, obviously, he went to Wisconsin, but the other one was Auburn. Because there was an opportunity for him to walk in here and take over that quarterback position at Auburn, and that would have been interesting had he done that. But God, watching the guy play, you got to love the way he plays. Baker plays a little bit like, listen, it's not easy.
And, you know, we don't ever mention Mason Rudolph, who also puts up very big numbers.
Sure. Now, that went interesting. We did interview today Jared Stidham, the quarterback for Auburn, who came from Baylor. Who, you know, came from that Big 12. He originally committed to Texas Tech he was going to go. Then he decided to go to Baylor, and he ended up at Auburn, which is really end of the spectrum, the way Baylor plays and the way Auburn plays football. And I asked him, do you prefer the, you know, watching Oklahoma play Oklahoma State where it's score in the 50s, or do you prefer the SEC football where you're going against, you know, on that defense that you'll be facing, there's, you know, six or seven NFL players. And he goes, can I say in the middle? And I go, of course. But, I, you know, sometimes I don't know what is the best football to watch. But for me, probably two ends of the spectrum, neither one of them satisfies me.
We're talking with Gary Danson about SEC football especially. Alabama, you know, it's funny. If they have 1 week when they don't have one of those 50-point games, everyone gets excited. I mean, everyone goes crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
everyone knocked them for only scoring 24 points against LSU. I mean, everyone goes crazy. I mean, they win 24-10, and it's not enough for people.
Well, that's because they were so dominating everybody physically that the fans and the talking heads were saying that this was a different Alabama team. This was an Alabama team with the running backs that physically could dominate anyone. And all of a sudden, you know, an LSU team that was struggling just maybe a month ago, you know, stood up there and their defensive line really exposed Alabama as being, you know, mortal.
LSU played well in that game.
They did. And you know, Jalen Hurts, I mean, I think if I remember right, I think Alabama was something like 4-for-12 on third down.
Yep.
And I think Jalen Hurts scrambled on three of them and hit a sidearm pass in between four players on the other one. I mean, Jalen Hurts saved the game. And I will say this, if Baker Mayfield somehow drops the ball, don't expect him to, but somehow drops the ball, keep your eye on Jalen Hurts as being taking a late run at the Heisman.
Boy, that will be – that guy, I hate to say it, he's not a Heisman winner, that guy. I'm sorry.
What he does, he just does not – he's got one interception on the year. His legs make so many plays, and he's lost one game in his career. So, I don't know. It just seems to me like Baker doesn't win it, Who else is there?
How about the Big Ten? That's become insane. I mean, that's become crazy. You know, the thing is, Michigan State and Iowa, they can play with the other teams. That's the problem. Any way you go in that league, you can get picked off.
Well, that is a great point. And the reason it is because just 2.5 weeks ago, all of the experts, the so-called experts in college football, were saying after watching the Ohio State-Penn State game, that the Big Ten is clearly the best conference in all of college football, and the Big Ten could still get two teams in the playoffs. 2 weeks later, after a couple of upsets, going to Iowa, which last week I told you, it's never easy to go to Kinnick State.
Very hard, and I did games there. In my life, I went there three different times when Hayden Fry was the coach. Very hard to play there, and you know what? They had Penn State beat, so why couldn't Ohio State have trouble there?
Exactly, and I think it does make Wisconsin's schedule more credible that now they're going to play an Iowa team that beat Ohio State, but it seems like all of college football has shifted away from the Big Ten saying they don't deserve a team. So I'm a bit confused about all that. I guess the better your league is and the more even it is, the less chance that you have a team of getting in the playoffs, where as the SEC this year is so top heavy.
Yes.
They have two teams on the top, and everybody says,
listen, a lot of times teams with two losses are still good. They're just playing in tougher leagues. That's all it is.
And that's exactly right. And that's why I continue to say, and I'm hoping before I get out of this thing, I've got a while, but I'm hoping that they will again tweak this. Remember the, you know, it wasn't bad for Alabama, but it was a ratings disaster. Remember when they put LSU and Alabama in the playoffs?
Yep.
I mean, what do you do if you do put Alabama and Georgia in it? And I'm not against either team. They both are fine teams that have deserved where they are right now. Do you let them play back-to-back games in the semifinals?
No, they can't. You can't. You have a ratings disaster. You'd have a disaster.
You place them on the opposite side.
You have to, which isn't really fair.
And then you get them in the final,
yes,
which could be a problem. So I don't think it's a slam dunk. It could happen, but I still think there was another interesting question. I had one of those talks having dinner last night. Does Notre Dame need Georgia to run the table,
yes,
to get in, or does Georgia need Notre Dame to keep winning in case they lose,
yes,
to Alabama?
The answer to both is yes. The answer to both is yes. And your first point was the best one. Enjoy the games.
You got it.
Thanks. Gary Danielson, we'll talk to him next week. Back after this.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.